Morning, everyone. Really great to be with you in worship this holiday weekend. Thanks for being here. So we are, as I mentioned last Sunday, this fall going to be reading a book together as a church. It's Dane Ortlund's book called Gentle and Lowly. There are free copies in the narthex. Feel free to grab one for yourself. We're going to be organizing some discussion groups around it. This fall, you can contact Louis. His email is on the back of the order of worship to sign up for one of those. And the book is basically, I read it during Lent earlier this year. Each chapter is like a meditation on the heart of Jesus. And it kind of does basically a deep dive on what Jesus says about his own heart in Matthew 11:29, that his heart is gentle and lowly. And so this morning, what I want to do together is to look at that verse in context. And as we do that, my hope for you, my hope for myself, my hope for us as a congregation is that we would, as today and as we enter this fall, know deeply what Jesus' heart is toward us. So I'll be reading starting in Matthew 11, verse 25. It's printed in your order of worship if you want to follow along, or you can just listen as I read from Matthew 11. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray together. Father, we sang earlier in the service that we in our hearts are prone to wonder. And Lord, in light of the way that our hearts are, we thank you for how your heart is. And as we also said earlier, we want to pray that you would take our hearts and seal them in your own courts. Lord, fix our eyes on Christ this morning. You know each one of us. You know the burdens that we bear. You know our weariness. And I pray that through Christ, you would minister rest to us all this morning. In his name, amen. It's a thing of conventional wisdom. If you are recruiting people for a team and you want this team to do well, what kind of people do you want to recruit? Well, you want to recruit the best and most proven talent you can, right? That goes for collegiate and professional sports. It goes for a team in a workplace. It goes for, I was thinking back this week to elementary school recess. Picking teams, that was often a painful thing for me because of my poor hand-eye coordination in elementary school. But the way that all those teams work by conventional wisdom is that you recruit from the top. Well, in light of that, it makes what Jesus is doing in Matthew 11 all the more dumbfounding. Jesus is issuing an invitation. He is a king, and he is enlisting people to his kingdom. Well, that in and of itself is not surprising, but what is surprising is he specifically does not recruit the best and most proven players. He's specifically not recruiting, as he calls them, the wise and understanding. He doesn't recruit from the top. No, instead he recruits, as he says, little children. Who does he recruit? He recruits the weary, the burned out, the heavy laden. Jesus is recruiting from the bottom. Our translation puts his invitation this way: come to me, all who labor. In the original Greek, that is a participle being used, all who are laboring. And it has this feeling of all who are laboring and laboring and laboring ceaselessly, so that many translations just render it, come to me, all who are weary and those who are heavy laden. That is a image of a beast of burden. You can imagine with me an ox, and someone has tied up to this ox, like some sort of cart, that is just overflowing with heavy burden. And the ox has been treading and treading and treading for a long time, pulling this heavy burden on difficult terrain, weary and heavy laden. Jesus is recruiting people for whom life has been a grind. He was wanting to talk to people who are exhausted, worn out, squeezed dry. If you feel in your life like you don't know how many more steps you can possibly take, well, Jesus has an invitation for you. He wants you on his team. The invitation is, come to me, and I will give you rest. Note what he doesn't say. He does not say, come to a new way of thinking about life, and that will give you rest. He does not say, come to a new time management toolkit, and that will give you rest. He doesn't even say, come to a better obedience of God's law, and that will give you rest. No, he says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Friends, at the center of Scripture's invitation to us and our world is this. Whenever we gather for worship on Sunday mornings, the most penetrating thing we ought to hear is Jesus saying, come to me. Whenever we read Scripture, come to me. Whenever we encourage each other in the faith, come to me. Whenever we share with our neighbors what being a Christian is all about, it is that Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is the center of what Jesus wants the church to be about. The church is not a club for those at the top. The church is a hospital for those at the bottom. The reason the universal church exists, the reason Boulevard exists, is for weary people, for us weary people, and for our greater weary community to be able to come to Jesus and find rest. If I could take a moment on this point to think practically about our congregation living this out. One thing that's on my mind these days for us as a congregation, I mentioned this last Sunday, I'm planning to send out an email to the whole church about it this coming week. This fall, our young church is planning for the first time to nominate leaders. This is something I'm really excited. It's right in the timing of our church and our maturity where we're at to begin to think about nominating leaders. And eventually next year, after training and electing and thinking through them, electing them too. As we as a people think about who to nominate, a conventional wisdom approach would be to think of the people who are at the top, to think of the people who can accomplish great things for our church, you know, to think of, as Jesus puts it here, those who are wise and understanding by worldly standards. Now, I want to be clear, we do want leaders, of course, who are able to do things and do things. But perhaps what we most want of our leaders at Boulevard is that these be people who live lives of rest in Jesus. What we most want of our leaders is people who know Jesus deeply and who personally have experienced his rest because they have been weary and heavy laden and they've gone to him and personally found rest in him. We want people who know that to bear Jesus' yoke is to live a life of rest. Have you ever had the experience of being with a Christian or just knowing a Christian who their very presence seems to minister Jesus' rest to you? You know what I'm talking about. You guys often do that to me. That is what we want in our leaders. Because after all, the goal is not for our community to be led into frenzied activity. The goal is for our community to be led to Jesus and over again find true rest in him. That's what Jesus wants to give us. It's what we ought to want most from him, and also what we ought most to want for our neighbors, resting in Jesus. Now, he goes on in this passage to explain what that true rest means. He says, right after he says, I will give you rest, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. A yoke, we're not very agricultural people, so I also was like, let me make sure I know what a yoke is. A yoke is, it's typically something made of wood, a device put on an animal that enables it to haul some sort of device, a cart or something for plowing the ground. Often it was like built to pair up kind of two, so you can imagine again the ox, like two oxen would be yoked together to do whatever work the farmer wanted them to do. In other words, what a yoke does is it binds you to serve in a certain way. You might hear that and think, Jesus, I'm weary, remember? I'm heavy laden. The last thing I want is a yoke, another yoke upon me, right? I don't need a yoke, I need a mattress. I need a vacation. I need 30 labor days consecutively. I do not need a yoke. Jesus, what are you thinking? This past week, I was taking the Green Line downtown, was meeting someone in the Loop for a conversation, and I saw something I'd never noticed before. Maybe you have seen it. It was between the Cicero and Pulaski stops on the south side of the tracks, painted on top, on the roof of this like warehouse industrial building. It said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls, Matthew 11. I loved seeing that for the first time. And this past week, you know, as I was meditating on this passage, it was a great reminder for me, even as I was riding the train that morning. What I also loved about it as I was thinking about it is, at least as I understood it, that was directed, those words of Jesus painted on the top of that building, those words were directed, or are directed, to people who are working. It's directed to people who are riding the Green Line, most likely often to and from work. It is literally on top of a building designed for work, right? It's an industrial building. And the implication isn't that everyone who reads that and accepts the invitation would stop going to work, or that the building would shut down and cease its activities, right? It's not that, because the reality is the rest Jesus gives does not supplant work. It transforms work. He says, take my yoke upon you. That is, be transformed in how you work. Serve me, and not whatever it is that you have been serving. You see, for Jesus, we often think, you know, rest is the absence of work. I cannot wait to rest on Saturday or Sunday because I will cease working. And there is something about that. We are commanded in God's scripture to regularly cease labors. We have to take our hands off the plow and remember, this is not ultimately all about my work. But Jesus is talking about even a type of rest that we inhabit at all times, even the other 6 days of the week that we are working. It's not the absence of work that gives you rest. What gives you deep, true rest is working in the right way. It's having the right yoke. It's namely learning from Jesus that gives you rest. It is being discipled by Jesus in your work that gives you true rest. Now, learning from Jesus might seem intimidating. Think about the teacher. He is Son of God. He is judge of heaven and earth. He knows exactly what you do, what you think, what you feel, and his standards are the highest of anyone who's ever walked the earth. Just look a few chapters earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7, for illustration of that. So how does it sound to you to have Jesus' yoke upon you? It should sound like much needed rest. And that is for this reason that Jesus himself spells out, for, because I am gentle and lowly in heart. Now that, of course, is what the book we're reading this fall is about. So I could just say check it out, and you definitely should. It's worth spending 23 or whatever chapters it is meditating on what Jesus means by having a heart that's gentle and lowly. When Jesus talks about his heart, what he is telling us with that language of heart is he's describing what deep down in him motivates him. He's describing what is it that stirs behind the scenes in his metaphorical bowels. And it's this, that when he thinks about you, his deepest disposition is gentleness and lowliness. As Dane Ortlund writes, Jesus is the most understanding person in the universe. And Jesus is the most accessible person in the universe. The most understanding, the most accessible. Can you believe that? Our Old Testament and New Testament lessons this morning corroborate what Jesus is saying about his heart. In Jeremiah 31, a chapter that's talking about the new covenant, God saying that his people have left him, they've forsaken him, they've rejected him. And he says, in response to being rejected by his people, what stirs in his bowels? What is in his heart? He says, I yearn for you. In Hebrews 4-5, which Cindy read part of for us, depicts Jesus as our great high priest. He has, as priest, provided the sacrifice of his own life for our sins, and he is in heaven right now doing his high priestly ministry, interceding on our behalf. And so when Jesus, from the throne of heaven, sees you, when he sees your sin, when he sees what's lurking in your heart and in your deeds, what is his response to you? How do you think he responds to knowing who you in your darkest, deepest parts are? Do you think he recoils? It's just the opposite. He draws near. When he sees your sin, he wants to be even closer to you because he is gentle and lowly in heart. In the language of Hebrews, he is your priest. He, for the joy set before him, draws near to those who sin and to those who suffer to help. He sympathizes because he is gentle and lowly in heart. So, church, as we enter this fall, I don't know how does it feel like to you to enter fall? In my mind, I have certain idealistic pictures of how fall should be. It does not involve pumpkin spice lattes. It does involve apples. it involves, like, as I picture fall, I want to think, like, okay, it's coming off of a summer, rested, rejuvenated, refreshed, ready to head first into the busyness of fall, to tackle everything. You know, I want to picture the fall. We're heading in on top of it all. You know, we got this, heading into the fall. That's the ideal, at least I like to imagine. But the reality is, I am weary and heavy laden. Is that your reality today as you, and this season as you enter the fall? Are you weary and heavy laden? It's really hard to say that. In our culture, there's a lot of pressure to appear, yes, busy, but also busy and on top of it. But do you, if you just allow yourself a moment of freedom from that pressure, actually identify with what Jesus is saying, weary and heavy laden? Friends, it's been a year and a half of pandemic loss, of isolation, of uncertainty. It doesn't seem like it's going to end anytime soon. It's just like, you know, I would have sung a slightly different tune a few months ago. But it just seems like, you know, when COVID seems perhaps on the way out, another variant pops up. My prediction is we will all learn together the Greek alphabet this year in all of its entirety, all the way from alpha to omega of variants. There's been, in the past few weeks, and I mean really for the past year and a half, ceaseless parade of tragedy. From Afghanistan to Haiti to Louisiana to Chicago, it does not stop. I don't even mention, and in many cases don't know perhaps, what the things are in your individual life that you are bearing. Maybe some of which you feel like you carry alone. Perhaps no one else knowing or no one else caring. And you can't imagine it being any other way than that. Friends, this is reality. And if this is your reality as you enter this fall, Jesus' invitation is to stop the game of pretending that we are on top. To stop the game of pretending that we are the all-wise and understanding, and instead learn the freedom of what he calls little children. If this morning we have a lot of our kids with us, because we don't have children's worship or catechism class, if you are a little child this morning, if you are a child this morning, these words of Jesus are great encouragement to you. He values you so much in his kingdom. You are exactly the person he loves and wants in his kingdom, and actually says has a lot to teach the rest of the church. If you are not a child this morning or don't feel like a child this morning, the invitation to you is to, well, hang out with kids observantly. This could be a little plug for monthly volunteering in our children's ministry. Jesus points to the children as the ones who have something to teach you. So learn from them. Jesus points to the kids, and if you know kids, they have a million questions, at least the little ones, until they learn to adult and pretend like they don't have any questions. The little children Jesus talks about have a million questions. They are always asking for help. And so Jesus is saying, learn from the little children. You have to be like them. Don't pretend, but acknowledge the reality that you do not know. You do not have all the answers, and you need help. You need rest. You need restoration. You need to be transformed. That is lesson one in Jesus' School for the Weary. Tell the truth, you need help. And so, friends, my hope for myself, for you, for our church as we look for this fall is not that we would enter it feeling on top and ready to take it all on, but that we would enter this fall desperately coming to Jesus. Join me in praying that for yourself, for me, for our church, that this fall we would desperately come to Jesus. Yes, practically there is much for you to do, I'm sure. There is much for us as a congregation to do. But truly fruitful labor grows not from the ground of frenetic activity. Truly fruitful labor grows from the ground of true deep rest. And that's because when the work itself is our yoke, when what we are serving is actually the work itself, it is a cruel master. If you are serving the work as if your life depended on it, you will dry out and end up being fruitless. You will only be left weary and heavy laden. It is not the yoke that you want. And that goes for anything in this world we could treat as our God and serve. It could be, well, any good thing or any bad thing, but so many good things are tempting. It could be your job. It could be comfort itself. It could be your identity, or even just like an identity marker. I think there is so much pressure in our culture to identify ourselves with some marker, sexually, politically, professionally, as if just having the identity, having the label, having this icon of ourselves gives us rest for our souls. But friends, it doesn't. It is a cruel master. Serving an icon of yourself in any way is a heavy, heavy yoke. It doesn't give rest. It doesn't transform. It exhausts. But Jesus' yoke is easy, as he puts it. Serving him gives us rest, and it transforms our work. Why? Because to have his yoke upon you is to learn that it is his work that will determine the day. It ultimately, serving him is a lesson in coming to really know that it doesn't ultimately depend on our work, but on his work. And what that means for you is rest, and it also means the freedom to work not for the sake of your life, but for the sake of love. So church, come to Jesus, you who are weary and heavy laden, and find rest for your souls, for he is gentle and lowly in heart. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.